I'm gonna have trouble getting started just because of it, but in a good way, it got me. This morning, we are starting this series. The point of this whole thing, gosh, I'm sorry, I really am. The point of this whole thing is that we could kind of wake up a little bit and just remember what Christmas is about. But to even go further than that, to take a real serious look at our lives, about who we are and who we are in Christ and who God is in us and who we let him be in us and how we so many times will stifle what he wants to do in our lives and through us because we buy into other stuff. The whole conspiracy thing is probably fairly, you know, I guess kind of speaks for itself to some degree, because the whole conspiracy thing is the idea that, you know, there's something extra going on. There's something happening that's always the conspiracy. We, you know, we just did a series a while back called Sabotage. The whole idea was, you know, that Satan is always, you know, off in the wings, and he's waiting to sabotage us. He's waiting to tempt us with things of this world, to use those things against us so that he can knock us down and keep us from doing what God would want us to do. And this whole conspiracy is just, it's just what it is. It's the stuff that we already know, and some of you could get up here and teach some of this, but I want us just to kind of just be proactive in this series. We're great sometimes at coming and listening to messages, and sometimes we're great at hearing the word, and we're like, and you know, whether we're saying it out loud, but in our hearts we're agreeing with that, and we're saying amen or whatever, and we're like, I am on with that, and I believe with that 100%. But during this series, we're going to be doing some stuff that's going to give you opportunity to be proactive in doing things. We're going to give suggestions. Today I'm going to give suggestions for things for you and your family to pray about, think about, being a part of and doing for your own family, for you and yourselves, and for your extended families, and for the people that you love, and just even just right down to the nitty-gritty of your relationship with God. And I hope that you'll soak this in, and I hope that God's word will speak to you in such a way that he will change you. I want to just, you know, just talk for just a minute about the whole idea of Christmas. You know, we have Christmas, and we know Christmas as, you know, Americans, for those of us that live here. And so that's very much, you know, something that we associate with certain things. We have symbolism to that. We have things that we love to do at Christmas time. Many of those things are great. And let me just kind of go on the record as saying, even before we even get started with the whole series, that this series is not anti-giving gifts, and it's not anti-enjoying time with your family. By all means, it is not that at all. But it is taking a real serious look at what we maybe have made things to be without meaning to do it many times. The things that we've bought into. If you just go back and you just think about Christmas in general as what God created Christmas to be, of course, we have the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ. Why is this such a big deal? The birth of Christ is such a big deal because the birth of Christ is like the first time that God had even spoken out loud to people. You know, this is like the first like movement of God that we had seen since Malachi. I mean, this is like the first time in hundreds of years that like people are, you know, the prophets are like coming out of the woodworks, like amazing things begin to happen. You know, we have those days, you know, for those of us that have been in Nashville for more than 10 years or, you know, whatever, I can't remember the exact year now, and I'll be put down for it. But, you know, for many Nashvillians, for real Titans fans, we remember the Music City Miracle, do we not? I mean, we remember that. I actually know someone that went to the game, was at that game in the stadium, and we were losing, and they were parked far away, and they decided, you know what? We're losing. There's no chance. I'm just going to go ahead and go. And what happened? Like one of the greatest things in Tennessee Titan football history happened We came back and won the game. All this person knew of was that about the time they walked out of the stadium, the place just erupted. I mean, just absolutely erupted. The world erupted at the moment of the coming of the King. When the baby was born, everything changed. Prophecies for hundreds and you know, whatever, tons of time were being fulfilled in one moment. The earth was completely changed in one moment. We talk a lot about the cross, and we should. We don't talk a lot about the birth. But in this moment in time, a time when in this particular area, babies were being killed because of the prophecies of the coming of this child. And I don't know about you, but I mean, we're about to have another baby. And you know, this is like baby fever at 24 Church right now. I think we've got like 15 or 20 pregnant women. We can't keep count anymore. We quit. You know, congratulate. You know, we used to congratulate everybody every week. Congratulations to everybody. You know, it's just, we can't take the time. And so, you know, but you know, it's an awesome thing. The birth of a child. But I don't know if you can imagine for a split second what it would be like to have your child killed. Your child being killed. And you got no answer for it and you're thinking, and some of you have probably been through the death of a child. And I can't even imagine. And would never even try to pretend. But at that moment in time, people were losing their babies. In essence, to the glory of God, because one would be born out somewhere in a barn or a cave, more likely. And it was Christ. This whole idea that we have turned away from, you know, really making Christmas about what it really is, has kind of messed things up to some degree. We've turned Christmas into something that should be, you know, relaxing. It's gone from relaxation to stress. You know what I'm talking about? It's gone from good time with your family to leave my house. No soup for you, you know? It's gone from the message of Christ to the message of spending. And there's sales. Man, there's sales. And if we're not making all of them, then we're not doing something right, right? We got to make every single one. All camouflaged under, I want to give to someone I love. And really what has happened is we have gone from where God would intend for us to feel guilty about not loving other people to feeling guilty about not getting them something. And let me just, I just want to throw this at you, and we'll be talking about a bunch of this stuff throughout the series. This is just the intro week. But we're talking about one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle today. But before we get to that, let me just throw this one thing at you. As we go through this, and as you're seeking God and asking God, what are you trying to say to my heart about this? I ask you to think about this. When it comes to that particular part of this, instead of thinking about buying presents, why don't you think about giving your presence? And think about your time and giving of yourself. Like, Chris, I'm busy. I'm a busy person. Slow the junk down. Okay? Slow it down. It's okay. You don't have to be that busy. I am in the same boat. We don't have to be that busy. Now, today, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. And it's out of the book of Luke, and it's out of chapter 2, but we're kind of skipping a little bit of some of the typical story and typical narrative that we usually read from there. And I'm sure we'll be reading back into this passage of Scripture later within this series and in the Christmas season. But in Luke chapter 2, in verse 21, we're looking at a passage of scripture where we see some stuff happening. And Jesus has been born. And he's there. He's not only, you know, they're out of the cave. You know, the rent was up on that. They have moved back to town. And they are doing something that parents at this time did. They are taking their baby to the temple. This is a typical thing. And, you know, some of us may equate this with, you know, like having the child dedication stuff that we'll do here every once in a while. And we're due one of those. And I'm more than aware of that. And we may do that this season. But in this particular situation, families would take their babies to the temple to be consecrated. And they would oftentimes offer up a sacrifice just kind of trying to just, you know, this is all, you know, from the law and stuff, you know, old school, pre-Jesus, you know, you got to do kind of stuff. And so they'd take Jesus to the temple and they're, you know, going through some of this stuff and they're just asking God to continue to bless his life. And of course, they are, and he is. And the amazing thing about this to me is I can only imagine what it must be like to be the parent of the Savior, okay? To just be like the Mary or the Joseph on the scene. And you know, because God has done some amazing things to show you. But, you know, maybe, I don't know, I can't really speak for them. I got to possibly think that maybe they would might possibly just doubt this every once in a little bit and kind of go, oh, you know, maybe we're kind of crazy. You know, maybe it's really not. It's, baby, you know, boy, whatever. But things like this would happen. In verse 21 of chapter 2, we would see this. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is at the temple. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with that, with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25, check this out. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die, check this out, before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, check this out, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mothers, Joseph and Mary, marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined, check this out, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Some serious stuff going on in the temple this day. This guy named Simeon is hanging out. And this guy is obviously trying to do what he feels like the Lord is leading him to do. He's in the temple. He's seeking the Lord. He has been seeking the Lord in such a way that God has spoken to him and said, you know what? You will not die until you see Christ. And here he is, he's in the temple, and you know, many of you can relate as a parent. You go to church, you've got the brand new baby. What happens? You're walking in, and there's people, and some of them are scary, and they want to hold your baby. You know what I'm talking about? They're like creepers. You know, they're just like creeping around, and they want to like snatch baby snatchers. They want to snatch the baby and hold it and kiss it and put all their germs all over it. And you're like, get away from my child. Again, I want to remind us that this particular passage is pointing to something that happened all the time. This is not like a one-time thing. It's not like, you know, when we have, you know, baby of the week born at 24 Church, which is fairly typical. This is like babies all the time being taken to the temple and being consecrated. This is what they did. Babies there all the time. In the midst of all these babies, this guy Simeon, who, you know, maybe he was a scary-looking old guy. I don't know. We're not real sure. But, you know, we can kind of put the picture together here. But he's over here, and as soon as this baby comes in, what happens? Out of all the babies, out of all the days that people have been bringing their children to be consecrated for the Lord, what does he do? He knows. He knows this is the one. He knows this is the child. This is Christ. And he is jacked up. He has been worshiping God in the temple, and he has been seeking God with all of his heart in the temple. And he has been looking and waiting for the day that he would get to see Christ. And I don't know if this meant like as soon as he would see the Christ, he'd go off somewhere and die, because that was the promise, that he would not die until he saw the Christ. But whatever it was, he recognized who Jesus was. And I think for so many of us, we miss Jesus when he shows up. He comes to us looking like somebody that doesn't have much, or he comes to us and somebody that absolutely gets on our nerves, and we miss him. Simeon didn't miss Jesus. The reason he didn't miss Jesus was because of one thing. Simeon was a true worshiper. A true worshiper. Let me ask you a question. Do you consider yourself a true worshiper? Do you consider your relationship with Jesus something that is a time frame thing, where you do it during these particular times of the week, or is it something that you just try to live out in everything that you do? Jesus satisfies the heart of a true worshiper. You know, worship is a catchy thing. Because we worship all the time. We've talked about this. If you're new to 24, I want to explain something to you. Worship is something that we all do all of the time. And you're like, well, I've not even been worshiping this morning. I've just been here. I've been hanging out, watching everybody else, you know, trying to figure out if I want to participate in what's going on. We have the look around disease. Like, let's see who else is singing and who else is going to raise their hand. And then if they're doing it, I'll feel okay doing it. And you see, the worship that we have been called to is something that's not circumstantial. It's something that we're supposed to just do all of the time. And we do worship all the time, but the trouble is that we're not always worshiping God. You see, God created us this way. He created us with a need, with a want in our hearts for us to desire, to love, and adore something. And truth be known, that love and that adoration was meant for him. It was meant for God. It was meant for Jesus. And of course, what do we do? And I'm the biggest fool of all. You know, we're constantly just, we find stuff here in this world that just seems like it's so stinking cool. How could it get much more cool than this thing? Or how could it get much more cool than what's happening right now in my business life or in whatever it is for the moment? And those things aren't bad things, but they become bad things in our lives because they become unhealthy, because they get in the way of our relationship with God. they take our worship. God wants our worship. And when you are truly loving God with all of your heart, and your worship is spun in a direction of trying to follow and to please God, here's what's gonna happen. The only possible thing that could satisfy you, the only thing on this earth that could possibly ever even come close to satisfying you is Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus, your love for him, that is, his love is the only possible thing that can satisfy that craving. And it's really a beautiful thing. You know, holidays in general are supposed to be, you know, happy and, you know, what, you know, fa la 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 la, you know, and all this stuff. You know, we sing songs and we, you know, we love presents and nothing wrong with liking this stuff. Again, we're not anti-gifts here. We're going to talk about what we are in weeks to come to try to help us kind of get focused in. But truth be known, from a pastor's standpoint, this is what I see in the holidays. I see tons of hurting people. I see a suicide rate that is higher than any other time of the year. I see people that never go getting engaged by those of us that say that we love Jesus. There's one real basic thing. We're going to talk about loving all later in the series, so I don't want to give too much away. There's one real basic thing to our faith, and this is it, that we've been called to love God. When they ask Jesus, when the Pharisees are hanging out and they ask Jesus, what's the greatest possible thing you could ever tell us? Tell us like the one thing, like the biggest, hugest thing of it all. Tell us what it is. And what does Jesus say? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Love God with everything you've got. But then what's he do? He answers two things to the one question. The guy only asked for one. He's asking for one, but Jesus gives him that. And then he says, and, love your neighbor as yourself. And he's teaching us something that's so important for us to understand. And that's that if we love God, then we love people. And that's not conditional. This passage teaches us through Simeon a love that is so important. A love that goes just being unmoved. I mean, when he picks up Jesus and he starts to praise God, he says in verse 29, Sovereign Lord, you have promised. You now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Simeon here is a worshiper, and he loves people because he's a worshiper of God. If we want to talk about worship, a lot of times, obviously, we think about this setting. I mean, where else do people talk about worship, right? We don't hear them, you know, we won't hear them talk about worship today, watching the game. No, we're going to hear worship at church. The question that I have for us today is your worship real? Do you really love God? Do you have a relationship with God? You see, Simeon got this. Simeon had a relationship with Jesus. Simeon knew. He was waiting for God to do something great. He knew that because he was in tune with where God was in his life. So many of us, unlike Simeon, are going to go missing God. And then what do? We complain. You ever complain? You complain a lot? Anybody's husband complain a lot? Wives? Any nods of heads? I'm not going to ask that the other way. You know, we turn into complainers, and this is what we do. We say, Chris, God's not working in my life. He never works in my life. There's never anything happening in my life. God's never doing any big special thing in my life. And to that I say, you are missing God. You're missing God. God is constantly moving, and he's constantly working. And the majority of the time, he is just waiting on us. He's like standing at the door like our friends do when they're ready to go and get something to eat. And they're like, come on, let's go. Get up off the couch. He's waiting for us to make a move. Jesus reveals our heart. And here's something that I think is all too important for us, is that Jesus reveals our heart. When we spend time with God, this is what happens. It becomes known to us, because we spend time with Jesus, what we're really worshiping. That ever happened to you? You ever come to church and you're like, man, the preacher made me feel guilty today. I just want you to know, I've had so many people at times come to me after service and go, you're talking about me, aren't you? How'd you know? And I'm like, know what? They're like, you know what you talked about today. And I'm like, well, I talked about like a million things today, usually, because that's what I do. You know, and I'm just like, no, I don't have any idea. And you need to understand something. Whether it's this church, another church, whatever, if you're going to a church that God is using and God is speaking through his word, then you're going to find things that come through as being the things that you're really worshiping for the moment. It may be sins, it may be little things, whatever. Whatever it is, those things are going to start to pop up. And then what happens? There's really one of two reactions that we can have to this. There's really one of two reactions that we can have. And the two reactions wind up being, you know, something like Simeon, who we see in this scripture, and basically anytime God's, you know, showing him something, he's falling on his knees and he's going, God, I love you, and I want you to be number one. Or then it's the opposite of that, which is, you know, the other thing, and that's the, you know, we get angry about it. And we're like, well, I'm not going back to that church because they just talked at me the whole day. They were picking on me and, you know, made me feel bad. And let me tell you what, you shouldn't feel bad except for anything but sin. Church should be a place where we are lifted up, where we are encouraged toward the cross. But there's going to be those moments that God is going to show you stuff in your life, and you're going to have the choice. Am I going to fall on my knees, and am I going to seek him with all of my heart, and am I going to say, God, I'm yours. You wreck me, and you reshape me and mold me into whatever you want to. Or we can get angry, and we can reject the baby. We can ignore the baby. We can even kill the baby. Just by saying, you know what, God? I've had enough. I've had enough. Well, speaking of having enough, there's one more person in this passage of scripture, and I want to read about her just real quick. And right in verse 36, it says this. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. Now, this lady, Anna, she's just hanging out at the temple. She's a widow, married to her husband 7 years. Me and my wife just passed 7 years, as I like to say, 7 long years. It's a joke. And you know, If anybody maybe has a reason to go, God, I've had enough. God, I've been through a lot. Let me ask you something. If you're married, if God were to take away your spouse today, if your spouse died today, how'd that make you feel? Married for 7 years and her husband died, widowed for 80-something years here. And I'm just looking at Anna and I'm going, you know what? If anybody gets the right to go, God, I've had enough. God, I don't want to deal with anymore. I'm up to here, all right? I'm thinking maybe she gets to call that shot maybe once. I don't know, probably not. It's not really how it works. But what is her attitude? Where is she living at in her relationship and her walk with the Lord? She's living at the temple, never leaving there. She never left it. In verse 37, midway, it says, she never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them in that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She was excited about redemption. This is a redeemed woman. She's got redemption. What is she so excited about? She's excited about everybody else getting redemption. She's excited about God moving. You know, for most of us, for us to get excited about something means that there's got to be something in it for us. There's nothing in that for her, except for her to get to see God do amazing things. And most of us, a lot of times, we've lost that excitement. For those of us that know Jesus, our excitement is not built on the things that God might do. We're still hanging our hat on what God has done, and there's nothing wrong with thanking God for things that he's done, but we can't live in those moments. We can draw from them, but we can't live in them. You can't live on the mountaintop. We should be excited about what God is going to do. I'm excited about what God is going to do. Now, I can't say that I'm excited about what God is going to do every minute of every day. I'm a big honking sinner, okay? Just like you. Dealing with the same stuff that you're dealing with, struggling with the same stuff you're struggling with. But I look at Anna, and I'm moved. And I start to question, do I really love Jesus? Do I really love God? I mean, do I? And it challenges my worship. And it challenges my love for God. And it makes me begin to wonder, what can I do? I want to give you just a couple of things. Just a couple of things that I maybe just pray about with, you know, if you've got a family, if you're single, whatever, start something here, okay? Pray about this as a family. This may sound silly at first, but I want you to track with me. I want you to pray and think about establishing some type of tradition this year at Christmas time. Some type of tradition. Maybe you already have some things like this in place. If you do, awesome. Keep those things going. See how you can build on those things. Establish, and I'm not the traditional type guy normally, but I want you to hear this. Establish some sort of tradition that will point to Jesus during Christmas time. Maybe it's gathering around and reading the Christmas story out of the book of Luke. Maybe it's something as simple as that to start off with. But just something, starting somewhere. And I think my generation, for those of you that, you know, are near my age or whatever, I think a lot of us, we took this for granted. Some of our parents did this kind of stuff, and we just took it for granted. Maybe you didn't grow up around this at all. It's completely new, and you're thinking, I don't know. Sounds like, you know, something out of a black and white movie. Absolutely. Absolutely. We've taken this for granted, and my thinking is, what would it be like if every family at 24 Church started just little small things with their own families that pointed toward Jesus? Things at home. Furthermore, second thing that you might do, pray about, asking you to pray about, not saying, hey, go do this, saying pray about, seek God about this. Let God speak to your heart about these things. Pray and ask God how you as a family could show God's love to someone else. How you could show God's love to someone else. And instead of being so consumed in the shopping cart picture, be consumed with how you could actually help somebody. Just pray about it. And you, if you're saying, Chris, we don't have time because we travel during the holidays, we want to see all of our family, and that's good. You need to see your family. That's fine. Listen, you don't have to give all night at a soup kitchen. Now, that's one obvious thing that you can do any time of the year, not just at Christmas and Thanksgiving. But let me explain something to you. Wherever you live, and this was proved to me this week by someone that lives literally a few doors down from my house that was hurting. Wherever you live, there are people hurting up and down your street. And they're just waiting and praying and hoping that somebody would show up at their door one day with whatever, the sack of cookies or the pie or a bucket of KFC if you can't cook or whatever, you know? And they're just waiting for somebody to give a rip about them. They're just waiting for it. And we all fail at it. We all fail at it. But instead of beating ourselves up about it, let's just do something about it. Maybe there's somebody that you know just really doesn't have any family. You can involve them in your Christmas this year. You take them to Washington State. If you go to Washington State, your family will look at you and be like, who's this guy? You know? And that's okay. At least they'll feel loved. Establish some type of tradition that points toward Jesus. As a family, show God's love to somebody. Find somebody to minister to this season. It may be multiple people. It may not be one family. It may not be one person. But just let God lead you in that. In closing, I just want to say this. Anna was a real worshiper. And Simeon was a real worshiper. And the question that you have to ask yourself today is that when I spend time with Jesus and he shows me what I'm really worshiping right now, how am I going to react? Am I going to fall on my knees like Simeon? And am I just going to go, God, I love you. Take me and do with me whatever you want to do. I'm yours. Or are we going to get angry and reject the baby? Will you worship fully? Will you worship with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength? Remember this, and this is why we're starting this early this year. We wanted to kind of try to help sidetrack some of the stuff that usually happens in the month of November and then the beginning of December leading up to Christmas. We wanted people to have things in their pocket to use as tools to help fight off some of this stuff, to help guide them through some of the season. Remember this throughout the entire thing. This whole thing is all about one thing. And that's that God is saving the world through Jesus. Some will worship and some will reject. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for your word, and I just thank you for how it speaks. God, I pray this morning, God, that we would be able to follow you with all of our hearts. God, I know that there's some people here, God, that probably just don't even know you. And they've heard Christmas stories about Jesus and they've heard things about church, but God, I'm asking that you do a special thing and just speak to their hearts about knowing you. God, because that's where it starts. And so God, for anybody that's here today that doesn't know you, God, I pray, Lord, that they would find one of us right after the service and just say, I want to talk about that. What does that mean to know God? God, I lift them up to you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just work on their hearts. God, for the rest of us, God, that we already know you and we want to worship you. And God, our hearts may be pure, but oftentimes we just get sidetracked. God, forgive us of that. God, we want to follow you. We want to love you. We want to worship you with all of our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us that opportunity in just the next few minutes to continue to worship you with all of our hearts, worshiping you in song, worshiping you with our tithes and offerings. God, I just pray, Lord, that all of that, God, would be glory to you. It's not for the sake of hearing ourselves sing. God, it's because we love you and we want you to know it. God, hear our voices and see our hands as our heart toward you. Thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for what you're doing in my heart. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. God, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work. God, we love you. In your name I pray. I want to ask if you would to just stand. The band is going to lead us in a few more songs. Purposely asked them just to do a couple on the front end so that we could spend some time after talking about worship today to spend some time worshiping God. And I mean, I don't think you maybe don't always understand that most of the time when I'm speaking to me. And if you're like me, you're a little overwhelmed. And if that's where you're at, let them sing over you and just seek the Lord during this time. Just tell him you love him. But if you can muster up the words, if you can muster up the sound out of your vocal cords, sing praise to God. Let it be a showing of your heart to how you love him.
When peace like a